Welcome to the Rogue Apostles Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
And I'm Faith.
Hey, what happened to Amanda? What the? Oh, we got somebody new here.
She's okay.
We got Faith in for a substitute. You know, Amanda, she's been working a lot, and she was a little under the weather, but she'll be back for the next show. But we have Faith, and Faith is awesome.
Glad to be here. I'm excited.
How's everybody feeling today?
With my fingers.
Oh, my gosh.
See, I got to start out with the dad jokes. I got to start right in there, you know? Dad with the dad jokes.
Oh, Lord. Faith, you're in for a bumpy ride. I just be ready.
I'm buckled in.
So we got Thanksgiving right around the corner, guys. How are you guys feeling about Thanksgiving? Anybody doing anything special for Turkey Day?
From what I understand, I'm going to my mom's house. So, which I know is like kind of frowned upon right now, but we're kind of like, we're in the same bubble. She lives like a block away from me, which let me tell you is a dream, obviously. I promised her that I would lock down for 10 days before before Thanksgiving. So that's what I'll be doing. I went to the grocery store like once, but other than that, yep, heading to mom's.
What about you, John?
Oh boy, I got to work that day, but that's all right. Yeah, as far as eats and everything, I am going to have me about as much turkey as I possibly can and avoid green bean casseroles like the plague.
Somebody's made you a good green bean casserole. That's what that is.
There is no such thing. I'm sorry.
Like my favorite part.
The green bean casserole?
Yes.
No. Let me tell you something.
Well, I'm always the one that ends up making the green bean casserole for my family's Thanksgiving, and I always put like, it's like 50% sausage. So maybe that's why I like it so much.
So it's really a sausage casserole.
James.
Yeah, sausage casserole with green beans. I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really just a sausage casserole. Well, folks, we've got a no travel advisory going on in Washington and Oregon and California. So I know there's a lot of folks that are bummed out that they can't go see their folks, you know, for Thanksgiving, even though we know some people probably are still going out and seeing their folks. Just be careful. Try to keep everyone safe. We want everybody to have a really nice holiday. It's sad for me though, personally, because I'm on keto right now. And so I get to miss out on my favorites, like the candied yams. It breaks my heart really, you know, but I've been thinking about some keto hacks, and I think I came up with something that's going to be good. It's a keto macaroni and cheese minus the macaroni. You know, I have to put cauliflower in, and I'm a little scared to do it. It's my first time doing it, but I think it could be good, you know? Anybody else doing any alterations for their Thanksgiving meals?
I'm going to be honest with you. Because you and I are keto buddies, right?
Yep.
Or, you know, we have been when I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I've been off program for like the past 2 weeks. And then just like now Thanksgiving's coming up. So I'm not going to alter a single thing. I'm just going to dive straight into the stuffing.
But you
gotta be careful with that. Yeah. You gotta be careful with that. Like substituting cauliflower for pasta. Cause cauliflower's got a lot of water in it.
Oh my gosh. I'm already dreading
I've made the mistake.
Yeah, I'm already dreading. John, you making any alterations? Or are you diving in too?
Well, no, I'm going to dive it in, but I mean, it's like, I like cauliflower. So, I mean, you throw some cheese on some cauliflower, I'm a happy man, you know, so I'd be all right with that. But yeah, doing without pumpkin pie or candied yams or whatever, that we got a problem.
Oh man, it hurts. It really hurts my heart, but I got to do it. You know, I've got goals and stuff.
But you're down like how much though? You've been working hard for the last couple months.
Yeah, you've lost so much weight.
Oh my gosh. Let's see. I started in September. I was 265, and now I'm at 215. So it's about 50 pounds.
You're killing it.
Trying to.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we got some news here, some pop culture news. A lot of things have happened in the last 2 weeks. Dave Chappelle, the Dave Chappelle Show, had just got on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And as of a couple of days ago, they yanked it right off of Netflix at his request. They said, no, we don't want it there. Well, he said he didn't want it there because he wasn't getting paid. He wasn't getting paid for the Netflix show being on there.
Well, yeah, because when he quit his show way back in the day, they stopped paying him for it, right?
Yeah, well, see, the thing was, is that, and he's been really vocal about it. He didn't get a great deal, and then everybody knows the story where he turned down $50 million, went to Africa, and they started doing the show essentially without him. They had like a lot of his cast there, they started doing it without him. And he never went back, so he quit his show. And it's just up until recently when he was doing Saturday Night Live, and he brought it up in a hilarious part of his monologue that they were bringing his show back, but he wasn't getting paid for any of it. And so, you know, Dave Chappelle's done a lot of work with Netflix. So for him to just be like, hey, can you take this off of Netflix? And then for them to say, yes, I mean, that shows you how much power this guy's got. What do you think?
I mean, honestly, yeah. The articles that I read about it, where he just called Netflix and he was like, honestly, I feel bad. You know, it sucks that you're showing my show and I make nothing from it because of his initial contract with Viacom or CBS, and they're able to share it on CBS All Access, but they, you know, he gets nothing out of it. And he said in like a stand-up, he was like, I just called them and I told them, this makes me feel bad, can you please remove it? And they just did it. Like,
man,
it was on
the age of television.
It was only on Netflix for 3 weeks and they were like, yeah, sure, for sure, yeah, we'll just get rid of it.
Well, he's making them a lot of money. I mean, he's making a lot of money, you know. John, what do you think?
I mean, he's done quite a few specials, and you know, and they see the draw that he has with people coming in and everything, and so, you know, whatever they might get from bringing on the Chappelle show is not going to be anywhere near what they're going to be able to get from him providing them new content.
Absolutely, so, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's a good business decision on their part, I think.
Agree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the AMAs have just happened. For anybody that doesn't know, that's the Music Awards that just happened. And let me tell you something. I watched the AMAs. Yeah, exactly. I watched the AMAs, and I couldn't help feel like they were putting a lot of effort into trying to tell the audience that it wasn't 2020 anymore. I just felt like they just were like, we're just going to jam this show full of so much stuff. And and for 2.5 hours, we just want people to forget everything that has happened. And it came across to me as a little jumbled and a little I think the word I want to use here is overstimulating, but I don't know. How'd you guys feel about the show?
So I didn't actually watch the AMAs because I don't take them seriously as an awards show. It's just like not on my list of like awards shows that I'll watch. Like I don't, not that I watch a ton of them anyway, but I did have a look at the nominations and the awards. Mm-hmm. And like, while I'm reading all of these, like I had to make sure that I was reading about the 2020 AMAs and not the 2015 AMAs. Like I had to like keep going back and forth. I was like, is this real? Like Taylor Swift is artist of the year?
Again.
Is that real? Is that real? I don't, well, and then there were new artists of the year and the only, I don't recognize a single name on there. So I have, you know, nothing to say about that. But I was just like, first of all, that WAP didn't win collaboration of the year is probably my only biggest upset. But other than that, I'm just like,
I was so mad.
The best we could do was Taylor Swift for favorite female artist, Taylor Swift's video. It was just like, why though? And why are we, It's silly. And then we did, we had Lady Gaga for best EDM artist.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? John, chime in here.
Do you really want me to? Because I'm sitting here going, I need to watch a show that has like the Temptations on it or something. To me, yeah, seriously, right? But to me, it was like, like you guys brought up, it wasn't the AMAs, it was the Taylor Swift show. And, the fact that Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion didn't get the collaboration of the year for WAP, and it went to, oh my God, Dan Plesce with Justin Bieber for 10,000 Hours, a country song with Justin Bieber singing.
Yeah, I didn't feel good about that. Yeah.
A song I've never heard of.
I'm just like, okay, knock me out. I mean, that was just like, and then again, he won for Pop Rock Star of the Year. It's like, so it's like 2010, 2008.
And Nicki Minaj got Hip Hop Female Artist of the Year. And I'm just like, I'm not sure what Nicki Minaj has done in the past 5 years.
I didn't watch the show, but I don't understand.
I guess I'm just gonna put, I was looking at, and Chris Brown was on the list of favorite male artists for R&B, and that just like grinds my gears for a lot of different reasons.
So the AMAs is definitely the 2020 AMAs were definitely giving us all 2010 vibes. I feel like we went back in time. That's how bad 2020 has been. They went all the way back to 2010.
Knocked us back 10 years.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, and also too, I think one of the big issues people were having was also J-Lo supposedly stole a dance from Beyonce from 2014 or something like that. I'm just like, I'm trying to catch myself up on all of this stuff, and it's just like, okay.
Was J-Lo on there?
Yeah, no, J-Lo was on there, and I thought she did a fantastic job. And I saw it online afterwards where they said, oh, she was copying Beyonce. But, at this point, these divas have been doing this for years. I mean, come on, let's really talk about this. J-Lo has been doing this for years. Beyonce has been doing this for years. Janet Jackson has been doing this for years. There's bound to be some kind of overlap. And honestly, 2020 is in no shortage of drama. So, it only takes one person to say that. And the next thing you know, everybody's just going to say it for the sake of the spectacle, the drama, and the clout. You know what I mean?
Honestly. Yeah. And it just, but we need to move forward. We're in a time where like there's so much, there's new music and new people everywhere you look. I mean, all you have to do is get on YouTube and like there's a new person recording something that they wrote. I don't understand like why we still have like Chris Brown in here. Why we still like The Weeknd, not that The Weeknd's no good, but like why do we still have Lady Gaga in like and Taylor Swift, and why can't we get better artists? That's not that they're bad, but I'm just like, why do we have the same like five artists coming through for the past like 10 years?
No, I totally agree. Well, let's switch tack a little bit and go back to talking about the holidays. I was thinking about, the AMAs and some new music. I was like, yeah, I want to get new music and such. And, able to get, get them digitally. They started doing Black Friday deals online already, I guess to discourage folks from going out and standing in lines at the store and stuff like that, But do you guys have any Black Friday deals that you're like interested in, or like eBay or Amazon or anything like that?
Usually I can't get rid of stuff fast enough, but I think this year I'm looking for a camera because it's just like one of those things. We got a new baby in the house, and I'm trying to make sure I'm not using her as an excuse to buy more stuff. But I really do have my eye on a camera, like a really nice DSLR. That's mostly, I think, what I'm looking for.
Yeah, you're going really fancy. What about you, John?
As I do. Well,
you know, the thing about it is they got so many of these new TV sets out now. My TV set's like 10 years old and it's about dead. And it's a flat screen even, but it's about dying. It's got the little streaks in it and everything up at the top. And so it's like...
oh, that's the worst. Yeah,
they're talking like some of these Black Friday deals where you can get like a 48 or 50 inch TV for like $150.
What? Like,
yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. And this is not even like the 720 ones. These are like the LEDs.
Oh, wow. Now, this is going to sound weird coming from me instead of John, but back in my day, those TVs were thousands of dollars. You guys remember that? Like, you could not get a TV over 36 inches for less than like $1,500.
Yeah, no, or even like, I mean, for those really thin ones that got mounted on the wall, like, I remember seeing them like $2,500, $3,000 for some of those, which is nuts. And yeah, no, I've seen a couple of those deals where I'm just like, you really you can get a flat screen for that much? Like, I feel like I'm living in the future. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah. Yeah, and the thing about it is that like what's so sad is that like even with those deals, I'm still like hesitant to get a television because most of my streaming watching is done on my phone. So like it's getting to the point now where TVs are really cheap, but phones are really expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Oh man, it's just like any phone that I want is like $1,500, and the TVs that I really kind of don't want, they're for $150. So it's just like, oh.
I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah. What a flip flop.
I know. Folks, you're listening to the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
I'm Faith. Oops, sorry.
You'll get used to it.
I'm Faith.
And we'll be right back.
KXRW would like to thank New Amsterdam for their ongoing support of our radio community. New Amsterdam is Vancouver's premier cannabis market for those 21 years of age and over. Visit newvamsterdam.com to view an order from the full online menu, and they now offer in-store, curbside, and touchless pickup to better serve you. New Amsterdam is located in the Heights Shopping Center on the corner of Mill Plain and Andreessen Road. Open 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., 365 days a year. More information available at newvamsterdam.com.
Community Radio Like This is brought to you by the generous support by our founding sponsors at ADCO Commercial Printing and Graphics, Clark County's local print shop since 1993. ADCO features stationery, posters, flyers, tickets, business cards, stickers, catalogs, and much more. Print on anything and mail anywhere. Learn more at ADCO1.com. That's ADCO, the number 1.com.
Folks, you're listening to the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
And I'm Faith. I've got something actually that's pretty groundbreaking. Scotland has decided to make all period products freely available to everybody who needs them. So the whole it's something.
So are you talking about like something from 1800? You know,
Oh my god. Period products. through the 1900s. No, these are I mean like your tampons, your pads, all of your
feminine hygiene
female unmentionables until now.
Oh.
So the First Minister of Scotland, Nicola Sturgeon, introduced legislation that makes period products free to everybody who needs them. And it's the measure that's intended to end quote unquote period poverty, as it's been the term they're using is period poverty. And the idea is that they want to make sure everybody has what they need throughout the pandemic, which I think is incredible. Two years ago, Scotland had done this, basically in public schools, colleges, universities, they put together a government program that made these sanitary products accessible for like students, but now it's everything in like all of the feminine hygiene products are like available to everybody who uses them.
I think that's really dope. And you know what, here's the thing, you know, my history with, you know, you know, poverty activism and things like that. You know, that's one of those things that, you know, in America, we don't think about when, you know, when folks are going through like hard times or yeah. homeless and unhoused. One of the last things people think about is, you know, the need for those feminine hygiene products. And, you know, yeah. you have to make the ask, you know, really. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's just kind of like, you know, it's something biologically that women do, just, you know, they have no control, you know, they have no control over that. So why would we not, you know, make those services available, you know, for our women in this country? And Scotland, big ups to them. I mean, I think, aren't they the first country to do that?
As far as I know. And I mean, like, they're still kind of like ironing out some details. Like, I'm sure there's some like logistics involved in this where, I mean, there's, I mean, the article that I've read, there's like a picture of just like, it's a shelf with like feminine hygiene products on it. And I'm just like, is that how it is now? Like, do you just come in and like, they check it out and like you just don't pay for that? Like, I don't, that's, I'm interested to see how it goes.
Yeah, I would love to follow up on that. I love the idea. Yeah, I'd love to follow up on that. I think that would be really... John, what do you think?
Well, you know, it's a fantastic program that they're doing there, because it's like something that, like you said, it's a natural bodily function, and it's something that is only half of the population has to deal with, you know? So it's like you have the men who never even, it's not even a consideration. So they don't even think about it, mm-hmm. you know, but it's something that women have to think about. And it's even here. One of the things that here in the States that I know a lot of women's groups and that have been fighting for is removing of the tax
yeah.
on feminine
yeah,
products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's just not fair that it's something that they have to have, and then that we're taking, you know, we're not charging tax on food and things like right. that, because yeah. we need that to survive, and you know, it's also something that men don't have to deal with or purchase or whatever. So it's like, why should women have to put that much more forward, you know, with regards to money and everything like that, if they don't have to? So I think it's a great program.
Yeah, you know what? That's a conversation that we definitely need to have, you know, state-wise and as a country. Yeah, I'm right there with you. There shouldn't be a tax on that, you know. They should remove the tax on that. And man, I would love to see what happens if this could be one of those cascading things that first it happens in Scotland, then it's happening all over Europe, and then, you right. know, and then it comes over here to America, and we start to, you know, we're like that slow cousin, you know, the rest of the family on the globe is just kind of like, you know, they start doing something, and it just takes America just a little bit. And by a little bit, I mean 200 years longer to get our stuff straight. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, no, Faith, that was awesome. That's an awesome, and I would want us to really follow up on that.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes.
Hell yeah. Did you guys know that Dirty Dancing 2 was being batted around? John, you know what the Dirty Dancing movie is, right?
Hey, nobody puts baby in the corner.
Oh, he knows it. Well, you know, they're talking, they're in talks. The Hollywood Reporter reports that they're in talks of making a sequel mm-hmm. to Dirty Dancing, of course, without the late and great Patrick Swayze. But I was reading, and they were talking about bringing back, you know, for at least cameos, folks that were in the original Dirty Dancing. Did you like Dirty Dancing, Faith?
I am mad if I say I've never seen it. Oh, I'm so sorry. The only thing I know about Dirty Dancing is
that this is happening right now.
Well, I know. I apologize for me.
We just got done saying great things about you, Faith, and you haven't.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Oh my gosh!
Disgrace myself like this.
John.
The only thing, yeah.
John, what was your favorite part of Dirty Dancing?
Probably the part where he had to confront the dad. Yeah. It was just like, yeah, well, you know, it was like the dad guy. And, you know, gosh, I wish I could remember what the dad's name was in that movie, or the actor's name, because he's such a great actor. He's on, like, Law and Order and everything like that. And, you know, it's just, it was a fun movie, but it was, you know, it had its tense moments and everything. But
oh, my God, so many.
But you know, I get tired of the regurgitation. So, I mean, if they were able to figure out a way that they could make this movie new, but still use exciting, you know, use the exciting characters that they had in there before, like, you know, like Jennifer Grey or whatever, then I'd be down with that. But it's like, sometimes it's just a rehash, you know, and then it doesn't work for me.
Well, staying in that same vein, speaking of rehashing,
no.
Saved by the Bell is back. Oh yeah. And you know what? Let me tell you something. I saw the trailer. I saw the teaser first, and now I've seen the trailer. And here's what I think. I'm an optimist. I think that it's not going to be terrible. That's about as far as I'm gonna go. I think that it's not going to be terrible because they're going to have some of the same formulas, but there's a whole bunch of new kids. But they brought back most of the cast from the original, save Mr. Belding, and of course Screech, because, you know, Screech, you know, ran into some legal problems. So he won't be back unless he's calling in from prison. But Lisa Turtle is back, and you know that actress has been dealing with some mental health issues, but I'm so glad that they decided to make her a part of, you know, that reunion. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I just hope that they can stay, like, current, you know, and it seems like they're already kind of like starting to put some more, like, you know, up to date content and, like, issues that that aren't, like, you know, I was just afraid that it was going to be basically just like this nostalgic thing that only fans of the original series would understand, or it was meant to be like a retro thing, or it seems like it's kind of like a little more on the progressive side, and I'm like kind of super stoked for that. Like, there's a little more like sort of Gen Z themes in it, and I think it's going to be pretty good. Although there are some sort of like mixed reviews about, it's a little, you know, maybe not as smart as it should be, but I'm ready to give it a chance personally.
What do you think, John?
I need Screech. Sorry.
No, Screech. No deal.
Here's the deal. I mean, for me, it's the, you know, they tried rehashing Beverly Hills 90210, and they tried rehashing, you know, just a bunch of these different shows, you know, and maybe they're updating some of the content. Maybe they're bringing back a couple of the characters or whatever. And I get it. There's only so many shows, you know, and so many concepts that you can have out there. But, you know, I want to see like a Big Bang Theory, you know, something that's new and you know, hasn't been done before. Yeah. You know, that first year the Big Bang Theory came out, you know, about four geeks, you know, scientists, that had not been done before.
Yeah, no, that was good.
And so I wanted, you know, rehashing the old stuff, even if it's like, you know, even if people liked it, it's like, it was good back then. Let's see some new stuff today. You know, what can we do? Let's see a show about 2020. You know?
Yeah, and you know, you don't want to see, I don't want to see anything about 2020.
I don't know what,
if 2020 was a show, it'd be the worst kind of show. You know what it would be? It would be jammed with all-star actors that literally could not work together. There would be a mid-season hiatus, and that would drag on for how long's coronavirus been? 9 months. And then when you brought the show back, it would be canceled. That's 2020. That's 2020.
And did we say that there's a writer strike in there too?
Yeah, yes, definitely a writer strike and some murder hornets.
Yeah, murder hornets are there for sure.
Oh yeah. You know, John, I think you hit on a vein here because, you know, they did try to bring back 90210 and, you know, that came back for, you know, a year, I think. And, you know, that, and then you guys know they brought back Charmed, but they did it with some different actresses. But honestly, my shows that I liked back then, that nostalgia kick that I liked back then, it wasn't really kind of those shows. It was like, of course, I did like Melrose Place. Do you remember, does anybody remember Melrose Place? It was like Dallas, but like current then. I just the dramas were really, really dark back then. I don't know if you guys remember how dark Melrose Place was or 90210 or how 90210 it got really dark. They were dealing with some stuff like, you know, abortions and stuff like that. And you're just like, oh my gosh, this is on primetime television.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. So, I mean, I think they want to bring back stuff, but they want it to kind of be more bubbly, more, not necessarily positive, but like kind of flash in the pan topics that don't really, that you can wrap up in 47 minutes. You know what I mean? Nothing too deep.
Yeah. I definitely think that that's kind of where this is going. You know, especially with the Saved by the Bell reboot, they've kind of got some of these like there's they talk about like transgender and or transgender issues, talk about kind of like you know, race issues, but they all kind of like from the reviews that I've read, it's not as deep as it should be. And it's kind of like almost like a pandering sort of thing. I'm glad to see it in popular media, but you know, not if it's pandering like that. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, definitely. And you always want to give, I mean, for me, yeah, I want to give these shows a chance, right? But like, if honestly, I'll tell you, if I turn it on and it doesn't catch me in that first episode, it's really hard for me to get to that second episode. One show that I keep talking about, And I don't know if you like it or not, if you've seen it or not, Faith, but it's The Crown. The Crown has been phenomenal. Phenomenal.
It's in a couple of seasons now, right?
Oh my gosh, it's in the third season. And Gillian Anderson from X-Files, do you remember Mulder and Scully?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Scully, she plays Margaret Thatcher. And let me just say this, she kills it. She's so good in that role, and if she doesn't get some type of Emmy, I don't know what I'm gonna do with myself, because she was great. She was just so good in that. Has anybody else seen The Crown?
Have not seen it, but it sickens me that they didn't make David Duchovny Reagan.
Oh my god, that would have been so good. Oh,
can you imagine
Mulder and Scully back together? All right, folks, you're listening to the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
And I'm Faith.
We'll be right back.
Court-appointed special advocates for children, known as CASA, are volunteers who advocate for the best interest of children who have come into the care of the state as a result of abuse, neglect, or abandonment. You can lend your voice and volunteer with CASA to change a child's story. CASA offers virtual information sessions and training. If interested, now is the time to get involved with CASA and make a lasting difference in the lives of children and families in the foster care system. Clark County CASA is a program of the YWCA Clark County. More information available at CASAClarkCounty.org.
Big thank you to our friends at Boomerang Therapy Works and home of the KXRW Studios. Boomerang is the only physical therapy facility in Vancouver and Portland that specializes in the treatment of neuromuscular disorders and brain injuries like Parkinson's, MS, and stroke. They opened Boomerang to bring premier treatment to their patients. Find Boomerang Therapy Works in action on Instagram or Facebook and see how their patients are inspired in their recovery. They can be reached at 360-258-1637. That's 360-258-1637. 1637.
All right, folks, you're listening to the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
And I'm Faith.
So another show that I was thinking that could use a really spicy reboot. And they kind of did it, but it's kind of not. Like, I'm a really big fan of the Star Trek Picard series. Has anybody seen the Star Trek Picard series?
I've seen like the first, I think I saw the first season.
Oh, yeah. John? Yes.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, come on. you and me are Trek buddies there, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. So, Faith, I don't know if you know this or not, but John and myself, I'd like to think that we are certified Trekkies. And so anything Star Trek that's going on, I'm going to bring it up. And I wanted to talk about some reboots because I feel like from the perspective of Picard, we're just missing out. I mean, they're coming in on another season, but I'd really love to see something that's focused on Worf. He's, yes. That, let me tell you something. In Star Trek, those Worf episodes were the best. They were so rich in culture, so rich in heritage. So, I mean, and Worf, I think, is the only character who has essentially killed multiple characters, like, you know, in his path, you know, to glory, if you will. What do you guys feel? You guys feel like we could use another strong Star Trek reboot?
I'm such a Worf fan. Like, Michael Dorn is like, he's amazing. Like, Worf was probably like when he, best part of Deep Space Nine was when Worf came back.
Yeah.
Just like, Season four. I've always thought that like it's Worf has always, I feel like, represented such like an otherness that like it's like nobody understands the Klingon culture, nobody likes the Klingon culture, you know, they're a war planet, they're a war race, and it's this whole thing that like you know, Star Trek being basically, you know, a lot of times just an allegory for the way different cultures interact. And we're supposed to reflect on that. I think that now would be a great time to have a Klingon-based reboot.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I know that there's a common comparison where, you know, people are like, we're the Klingons, like, in the Federation, like the U.S. are the Klingons, and so I think it would be kind of a nice time to, like, you know, offer that reflection to a wide base of people.
Oh, yeah. John, what do you think?
Well, I absolutely agree, because, I mean, obviously in the original series, the Federation and the Klingons, it was the U.S. and Russia, right? Good guy, bad guy. And that was all that it was. But as we got into the Next Generation and they were actually able to give Worf this culture, and then the Klingon people, this whole background of they're not just a bunch of warriors or whatever, but they're warriors, but that's not all of who they are, and there's this whole religious background, you know, and Kallus and all this other stuff that they follow, and I absolutely agree with that, and that's where I think that I'm a little disappointed with what Star Trek Discovery did, where they kind of just took it back into they're the bad guys and they're just this single-minded focus. It was
agree. That was a disservice. Yeah, absolutely. No, I 100% agree with that.
Yeah,
as well.
Me too. I had a hard time with Discovery in order for me to watch it, what I'm thinking is that I should have not started maybe in the first season, because after you get a character like Worf and then you watch a series do that, it's just kind of like, you know, the only thing I can compare it to, and I know we're like trekking out here, and for our listeners, you're just going to have to deal with it. Okay. Ferengi, I didn't think much of them until we got to Deep Space Nine, and I'm just sitting here, you know, you got Quark and such, and you're just like, you know, it's a hard, listen, the thing about Star Trek has always been, just like you said, Faith, it's been like taking another look at other cultures, but really kind of at face value, and I think that's something that happens to Americans as it is, like, we know that there are other countries out there, and we, I guess in our way accept their cultures, but we don't dig too deep into those cultures. So we really just taking those cultures at face value. And we gotta be willing to accept that there are cultures out there that we don't agree with, but it doesn't make them any less worthy of understanding, you know, who they are, you know what I mean? Absolutely. And I think that at first it was the Klingons for me, and then it was the Ferengi, because, you know, the Ferengi, the closest thing I can compare them to and their stuff to is hardline religious kind of zealots, but for like money and in the economy, right? Like that's their religion, yeah. But then they don't, like, what did they say? They don't let their women wear clothes. They don't let them read books. They don't let them go outside the house and stuff like that. So you get some familiar tones in our lives of cultures that do those types of things. But then they're a very hugely capitalistic based, you know, heritage and culture. And so, like, you know, it's coming at you from a way that you can kind of understand it, but it's kind of like throwing you that curveball. And so, what do you guys think? Is there another like Star Trek culture that you had a difficulty kind of understanding, or it brought you close to something in our real lives, but, you know, was just totally different?
You know, I think that Ferengi, if we were ever to bring back, and I know that Below Decks has Ferengi characters. I've seen the animation. That's a series that I'm really excited to jump into. But I would say if there was ever like a big reprisal of the Ferengis, like we saw in Deep Space Nine, Quark, first of all, had some of the best dialogue in that show. I don't care what anyone says.
Say it again.
But he, I mean, like there were some problematic issues and some, I think some maybe problematic comparisons drawn from Ferengis to cultures that we have, you know, in reality. So I would like to see some of that toned down a little bit. But I mean, like, I think it would be great to just revisit all of those cultures that we're like, we don't quite understand. The Ferengis, the Klingons, the Romulans. I think that would be, you know, and I'm glad Picard is back to explain all these things to us personally. If there's anybody who can get us to accept it, it's Father Picard, as we call him in this house.
Oh yes, the high and holy. What do you think, John?
And you know what? I'm thrilled that they came out with Picard, because it's like, yes, the reboot that they did with the movies with Chris Pine as Kirk and everything like that. I enjoyed those. Don't get me wrong.
They were
a fun ride, but they weren't the Prime Universe, right? And so Picard brought us back to the Prime Universe. And then also you have the Star Trek Discovery. Okay, so they played around a little bit about why they did certain things in the first couple of seasons, you know, and this was all prior to the original series timeline. But now they've moved on, you know, spoiler alert, they're 930 some odd years in the future. So they're going to have their own set of issues that they're dealing with that have nothing to do with anything that's in the Prime Universe.
Oh yeah.
So I'm excited to see that. But as far as like, you know, character development with regards to races and everything, I mean, you know, I definitely would like to see that. Don't necessarily know which one, but you know, one of the things that was kind of constant with the original series and even the Next Generation was, it's like, you know, we're the United Federation of Planets, and if you're part of us, then you're good. And then if you're not, well, you know, you know, and you know, albeit Kirk, how many times did he go out? And even though he was guided by the Prime Directive, did he go and break it?
True.
Yeah. You know,
and you know, I don't fault Kirk for that, because if you count him up, I think Picard did that just as many times, just in a more debonair way.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
We let him slide.
Yeah, but you know what? Let me say something. I think a very underrated, I think the most underrated captain he started as a commander, was Captain Sisko.
I was just going to say Benjamin Sisko.
In another vein, though, I think that Captain Janeway was also underrated. She had to make some really hard decisions. And you can see her wrestling with her ethos and the Prime Directive, and you know, because there are plenty of times she could have took shortcuts, right? Plenty of times she could have you know, done what was good for just her and her crew, but you know, she stayed to a value system. So I think she's the the most like Picard without being Picard, if that makes any sense to you guys. You know what I mean? And she was put in some really tough situations, you know?
I can see that. And, yeah, absolutely.
And so I think that wrapping back around to a sense of a reboot, I think we're all in agreement that we would love to see a reboot. And I think that one of the consistent things is to delve back into the rich cultures and kind of what they symbolize in our real lives. You know, you said it yourself, Faith. You know, we have people talking, saying all the time, like, well, I would be a Klingon, or I would be, you know, a Cardassian, or I'd be this, or I'd be that. And I think that that is something that is really great for fans, you know, just like in Harry Potter, or just like in, you know, other stories where you see a sense of yourself in these characters. And maybe it's the best sense of those characters, or maybe the worst sense of those characters. I think that that's what we need to get back to, the art, that art of storytelling, where you can really identify with not just the main characters, but, you know, those other, you know, those sub characters and such. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So is anybody, so what are we binging right now? Is anybody binging Star Trek right now? Different, who's doing, John, you don't have to say it. I know you're probably binging the original series because you're stuck there.
Actually, I have been binging the new take on Star Wars with The Mandalorian.
You know, The Mandalorian's been in the news quite a bit. Gina Carano, she plays, what character is she playing in The Mandalorian? I can't remember the character's name.
I think it's Cara Dune or Cara Loon or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's Dune. She's like a mercenary.
Yes. And, you know, actually, I think she's quite good on the show, but, you know, the actress, Gina Carano, she's coming under fire. She, you know, they've got a petition to fire her because she has some pretty right-wing viewpoints. And, you know, I think it's important to have that conversation where, you know, I don't want to live in a world where just because we have different viewpoints, I can't enjoy your show. I can't enjoy you on a show, to a point, right? We don't want people, you know, celebrating fascism and then be on an award-winning show. So it looks like you're, but, you know, I really think that we have to be careful about how we censor, you know, actors and actresses on different projects, to a point. You know what I mean? What do you guys think?
I think that I mean, it's a little hard to say.
It's really tough, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because on one hand, I mean, okay, let's take it for this. You guys remember the show Frasier? Kelsey Grammer?
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Absolutely. A lot of people don't know this. Kelsey Grammer, he was on Frasier. He was on X-Men. But Kelsey Grammer is a lifelong Republican.
Oh, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
You
would not know that. He's a lifelong Republican.
Oh, but I forgot
He was on Cheers as his Frasier Crane. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? This is important. We're gonna come back to it. Folks, you're listening to the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
And I'm Faith.
And we'll be right back.
KXRW would like to thank New Vansterdam for their ongoing support of community radio. New Vansterdam is Vancouver's premier cannabis market. Visit newvansterdam.com to view and order from their full online menu. And they offer in-store, curbside, and touchless pickup to better serve you. New Vansterdam is located in the Height Shopping Center on the corner of Mill Plain and Andreessen Road. Open 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., 365 days a year. More information at newvansterdam.com.
You're listening to the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
And I'm Faith.
Yeah, and just keeping in the vein of talking about Gina Carano from The Mandalorian, you know, we were talking about, you know, censorship, and where do we kind of draw the line where it becomes, where we separate the actor from their viewpoints and their work. And so, I mean, you guys got to have an opinion on this. Like, you know, she's got some pretty right-wing right-wing viewpoints. Do you think that harms her character in some way in the show?
I mean, you know, it's kind of, it's weird too. I think the fan base, I think, is conflicted because everybody sees, you know, these mercenaries and people in the resistance or whatever, as kind of, everybody sees them as being on their side. And I think that, you know, I think that she's kind of, she's towing the line a little bit. With the, I don't know if you saw like the beep boop bop thing on our Twitter profile, that kind of started this entire mess because they asked her to put her pronouns on. But I mean, I don't, she's almost over the line to being offensive. She basically said like, you know, I don't really want to put pronouns on. If you want to do it, that's cool. Not my thing. But if you want to put your pronouns on there, that's okay. It just kind of like, it came off as being not very understanding of the underdog. And I think that a lot of people were upset by that because a lot of, it was just sort of a contradiction to the way that folks see her in the series.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And this sort of like turning her back on, you know, people who are different.
Yeah. John, what do you think?
Well, you know, it's interesting looking at this from, you know, across the medium and across the years or whatever. It, for me, it was a, you know, there was a time where if you wanted to find out what was going on with your local celebrity or whatever, you had to buy one of the rags, or, you know, the magazines that, you know, had all the information in there. And maybe it was a, you know, National Enquirer, or maybe it was a People magazine or whatever. And, the celebrities in that gave their interviews or didn't, you know, but nowadays with social media, you have them out there tweeting and posting on Facebook and Instagram. And so you kind of got to take responsibility for yourself as a celebrity, that if you're going to put something out there that people are not going to like, then you're going to have to deal with the repercussions of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't want to say, hey, don't be yourself. But you also, you know, you just got to be careful because like some of these things, you know, in our society, you know, I would hope that we could all, if someone tells me tomorrow, if I have a best friend of 35 years, tell me tomorrow that they are trans and they use these pronouns. And I say to them, well, you can use those pronouns, but I'm only going to, I don't really want to use those. And I'm not comfortable doing that. And it's just kind of like, no, of course I wouldn't do that. That's my friend, you know, it's someone I've known. And even if I didn't know them, and if they told me, if they looked a certain way, but they said, hey, I have pronouns for this way, I'm going to be respectful and use what they want me to use.
Well, and that's what a lot of fans were saying, reaching out, is they were just, you know, Gina Carano was just sort of like, yeah, if you want to do it that way, that's cool, but I don't. And a lot of people were like, why, what does it cost you to use preferred pronouns? And that's, you know, and then she opened a Parlay account. So who knows? Like,
yeah, right? She's like, I'm going to Parlay.
She's like, I'm leaving.
I'm leaving. I'm just like, okay.
I'm out of here.
Okay. Well, you do you, boo-boo. You do you. I have a bone to pick. I have a bone to pick with The Mandalorian, actually. And I'm one of those people. Listen, I'm a loyal Star Trek fan and I'm a casual Star Wars fan. And even I know that this thing with these midichlorians, this has got to stop. I hate, I despise the science behind. They tried to put some science behind the magic and it's not working for me. How do you guys feel about that?
I personally love it. I am like all for like the explanation behind an explanation. So like when somebody was like, there's these things and they're called midichlorians and they're smaller than your cells and they live inside your cells and they're like, but it's like a cell that's a cell and then magic. Like I don't know. That's like one of my things. That's why it's science fiction. And I feel like that's the perfect embodiment. I know it's like, it's just extra stuff that we have to take into account, which is kind of bothersome. It doesn't like, it's not as simple anymore, but you know, we're science fiction fans. We're okay with that kind of stuff. At least I am. And that's how I like, I reason it out that way. Like I'm cool. I always like a lot of science on my science fiction.
What do you think?
Science-y easy on the fiction.
Yeah, well, no, you know, I mean, I agree. It's George Lucas's universe. He can have what he wants, and he wanted midichlorians to be the basis for what the Force was all about. And, you know, I mean, if you take a look at it, you know, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, did people understand quantum mechanics and, you know, you know, how string theory works? No, they didn't, right? So it's like, if you tried to explain string theory to somebody 150 years ago, they just look at you like, what's a midichlorian?
Right.
Well, staying in the science fiction vein, I feel like this has been, I feel like the story came out and it felt like science fiction, but it's very much real. Does anybody remember the Tiger King series on Netflix?
I'm trying not to.
I mean, that was like 5 years ago, right?
Girl, it felt like 5 years ago. No, that was just still in 2020, if that's any indication of how the year is going. Well, anyway, Carol Baskins, well, first of all, I have to report some really sad news. Her zoo was violated, actually, with graffiti of someone, someone tagging her zoo with some really obscene stuff. So shout out to her in that aspect. And nobody should have to go through something like that.
Bummer.
Yeah. But Nicolas Cage is going to play Joe Exotic in a new Tiger King series. And, you know, first of all, the first thing I want to say is this. Whoever Nick Cage's agent is, apparently he has been instructed to turn nothing down. Because Nick Cage has done every movie that has come across his desk, I feel like. For the last 7 years, it feels like Nicolas Cage has not said no to anything.
It feels like Nicolas Cage just knows what the theme is for 2020, and he's rolling with it.
Hey, all I got to say is they better get Andy Samberg to be his body double.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Let me tell you something. I'm being so serious right now. For the longest time, I did not like Andy Samberg. I just did not like him. I didn't like his brand of comedy. I didn't even like his voice. But I started watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and I really like Andy Samberg now because of that show and that show alone. Yeah.
Nice. All right.
Yeah. So Nicolas Cage is going to be in the new Tiger King series, and we're going to be looking forward to that. I want to thank Faith for coming on the show.
We gave her
such short notice. Yeah, such short notice that she was just like, yeah, I could do that. And she did like all the research and stuff, and it's just been fantastic. And you know what? I think that we're going to be looking forward to having Faith on the show in the future. So, I'd
love to be back.
Oh, that's all right, folks. You're listening to The Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
And I'm Faith.
And Amanda will be back with us on the next show as well. So you might be looking at four hosts on the show talking about all the pop culture things. Have a great day, guys.